God, we just thank you for your word in our lives, and we thank you for the promise that as we sow into your kingdom, that we will reap a harvest of righteousness. And God, thank you for that promise that you said that where our treasure is, that there will our hearts be also. And God, I've seen in my life, just as I've sown into your kingdom, that you have given me a passion for your kingdom. And as I've taught my children to sow into your kingdom, that I've seen in them a heart for your kingdom as well. And so, God, I just pray that you would continue to give us seeds to sow so that as we sow it, Lord, that we can believe for that harvest. Bless the word that is going to be spoken this morning. We thank you for that you are the way, that you are the truth, that you are the life. God, and as we plug into you and plug into your truth, Lord, that you would reveal to us your ways and that you would eliminate confusion that is going through all of our culture at this time. God, there's a crisis of truth, and we want to walk in your ways and be a light to the world around us. So we pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Turn to the person next to you and tell the person next to you, congratulations for being in church on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, how many are football fans? You are a football fan? Okay, let's give those guys a hand. Because for me, it's not a sacrifice to come to church on Super Bowl Sunday. I don't even know who's playing. But for those of you that are watching football, God bless you. It's a sacrifice, and God will reward you according to your sacrifice. So it doesn't start till 1:30. That's what Robin just said. I had no idea. I don't know what time it starts. But how many of you know, the Super Bowl is a pretty cool event, from what I understand. I've watched it a few times in my life, mainly for the halftime show and the commercials. I like the Super Bowl commercials. But one of the reasons why it's such a great event is because they are the best of the best, right? That you have all of these games all throughout the year, team playing against team, and the best are rising to the top till finally the best of one and the best of the other meet at the Super Bowl, and they battle for the Super Bowl ring and the Super Bowl trophy, and to say that they won the Super Bowl that year. I think that's the way it works. Is that the way it works? Yep, okay. How many of you know, happy birthday, Rudy. I forgot to call you yesterday, but happy birthday. It was his birthday yesterday. Wisdom with age. How many of you know that we are approaching the spiritual Super Bowl of all time? Oh, there's one cheer. Let me say that again. How many of you know that we are approaching the Super Bowl, the spiritual Super Bowl of all time? Everybody comes in jerseys and like us, all, you know, amped up about their team. And then you say Super Bowl, spiritual Super Bowl. And then there's one, rah. I believe that we are reaching a crescendo in our world, that we are getting to the fullness of all time when good and evil will clash and there will be a winner. How many of you think the winner will be evil? How many think that the winner will be good? How many think that the winner will be good? Oh, yeah, yeah. This past week, you know, it's interesting. I've been meditating just on, in the past 2 year and a month, or I guess in March it will be a year, we have seen the synchronization of global events, right? Coronavirus, synchronization of global coronavirus, the synchronization of the global response to coronavirus. You can go anywhere in the world, they're wearing masks. You can go anywhere in the world, they're social distancing. You can go anywhere in the world, and they have the same solutions to this problem. Shut down the economy, lock yourself in a house. It's a global synchronization. Global synchronization of civil unrest, global synchronization of government upheavals all across the world, in Italy, in Germany, in Philippines, in Myanmar. We just seen it in Myanmar. A global synchronization of what it seems to be that evil is winning. How many of you would agree with that? But how many of you, I was just thinking about this, and I listened to a prophecy that Robin sent to me this past week, Dutch Sheets. And one of his intercessors had this vision of eagles that were flying and dropping arrows onto different places on the planet. And these arrows fell in the exact locations of where revivals have happened in the past. And out of these places, there was wellsprings of water and fire that combined to form one huge river that passed through the entire world. How many of you believe that the best is yet to come? That God is setting something up? The scripture says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Can you say amen? Amen. How many of you think that the enemy has come in like a flood this past year? We've seen that. But how many of you have faith to believe that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him? That part of the scripture has yet to be fulfilled. But I think in the same way that we're seeing a global synchronization of coronavirus and corona response and government corruption and government upheaval and civil unrest and mass unemployment and economies falling apart, that we're going to see a global synchronization of the Spirit of God and revival like we've never seen before. There should be an amen to that. Because if the Spirit of God is anything like the same power and the same magnitude and the same synchronization that we've seen of these other movements, we're in for some pretty amazing times of revival. The former and the latter rain coming together, the end of time's harvest, the harvest of tabernacles. We're headed for a fulfillment of prophecy that that no generation has ever seen before. Are you guys getting excited? Because I believe that we're headed for that time. And so this, how many of you have enjoyed your soaps? How many of you enjoyed your soaps this past month? I've been in the book of Joshua, and as I'm reading the book of Joshua, I'm looking at the promise. You know, God has promised us that there's going to be a revival. God's promised us that there's going to be an end-time harvest, that there's going to be a harvest that, like, the world has never seen. We've seen revival, the Welsh revival, the Azusa Street revival. We've seen these different fountains of revival that have popped up throughout the world. But there's going to be a worldwide revival, a synchronization of people coming to know the Lord, a sovereign move of his Spirit that's going to usher in an end-time harvest. And this is the spiritual promised land that God has promised his people. For generations and generations, God's promised this to his people. And we could be the generation that sees it fulfilled. Isn't that cool? So I've been gleaning through the book of Joshua. Let's read this. Let's read this together at the count of three. One, two, three. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, everyone say then. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then, everyone say then, and then thou shalt have good success. When I read this scripture, the first thing that I thought was, in Joshua writing this scripture out, I believe that he lived this scripture his entire life. It talks about him when Moses would leave the tabernacle, that he would stay in the presence of God. I believe that when he stayed and he stayed back as Moses left, that he was actually going through the scriptures, reading the books that Moses was writing, that he was reflecting on the goodness of God from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the captivity of Egypt, and then reminiscing through how God delivered them out of Egypt with a strong hand and opened up the Red Sea and dropped manna from heaven and water from a rock. And he would constantly recount the goodness of God to himself. And he would meditate in the scripture. And he wrote this out to himself. He wrote this book, Joshua. And when they came the first time to the promised land, 12 spies went in. How many spies saw the giants in the land? Out of the 12, how many saw the giants? All 12. How many focused on the giants? 10. How many focused on the promise? 2. Okay, let's read the scripture together. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had experienced the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us." It's interesting that Joshua and Caleb, when they came out, they didn't even mention the giants in this passage of scripture. The reason why they're renting their clothes is because the other 10, all they're doing is saying, "We can't go in there. We're going to get defeated. The giants are huge. We were like ants in their sight and grasshoppers in their sight, and we're just going to get destroyed." And they were focused on the giants. And then you listen to what Joshua and Caleb said, and there's nothing in there about the giants. It's only about the promise. The promise is good, and God's going to give it. How did they have that perspective? To ignore the giants and just, I believe it was because they were looking and focusing and reminiscing on the word of God. And so we have giants right now. How many would agree that we have giants right now? Giants that are standing in the way of our promised land. The giant of corona, the giant of our economy, government, social unrest, persecution, the silencing of conservative voices across social media platforms. All of these things are happening. And these are giants. And we can focus on the giants, or we can focus on the word of God. As I'm reading through scripture, you know, when I look at COVID, the giant of COVID, God is Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. When I look at the economy and the giant of the economy collapsing, I look at Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Amen? When I look at government and how government can have evil rulers in our nation and in other nations, I look at our King, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, that Jesus is King. We can focus on the giants, or we can focus on the promise. We can look and see the nations being ripped apart in social unrest, or we can see Jew and Gentile coming together under Christ. We can look at the persecutions and say, "This, it's such a bad thing," or we can look at how God has used persecution in every part of Scripture to push his gospel out and scatter his people to influence nations. Every single giant represents an opportunity. Every single giant represents an opportunity to focus on who God is. Amen? So faith sees past giants. How do you get eyes of faith? You stay in the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Soaping is so important, especially in this time. Because if we don't, we're going to focus on the giants. But if we focus on scripture, we'll see the promise. So faith sees through the giants. Number two, faith sees past the wilderness. And this is the hardest one. And I think a lot of us are going through wildernesses, because the wilderness is a place where you have no idea where you're going. You're wandering. It's a place of the postponement of the promise, right? And how many can feel motivated when you don't even know where you're going or what you're doing? It's super hard, right? And I think a lot of us are in that place of uncertainty, of not knowing what the next step is because there's so much uncertainty. Let's read the scripture together. 1, 2, 3. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and battle now as I was then. Now, give me this country that the Lord promised to me that day. Does this sound like somebody that is in retirement to you? Does this sound like somebody that's 85 years old to you? You know, when I look at that and he says, I'm just as strong, and he's 80-something years old, 85 years old. He says, I'm just as strong as I was back then. I always read the scripture and I thought, he is lucky. God just kept him strong. But I'm watching my dad. How many of you are glad that we have an example like Pastor Eddie? I'm watching my dad. He's 75. Are you 75 or 76? 76. He's 76 years old. And my mom, during our family dinner, she's like, oh, you know your dad? His muscles are getting harder, you know. Try feel his muscles. Go feel them, feel them. Like, no, that's weird. I won't tell you the other stuff she says about it. But he's coming, he comes to my house every, you know, I have a weight set and stuff that I don't use. And he comes several times a week and he's like, can I use your weight set? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And he's like, I just want to see how much stronger I am this week. And you know, he's like lifting weights and I have to spot him. And he's like, you know, I feel like I'm getting stronger. And you know, my mom says that he's getting stronger. And I realized that Caleb, through those 45 years in the wilderness, he wasn't just cruising. It said that he was just as strong, just as vigorous, just as ready to do battle as he was 40 years before. What kind of motivation do you have to have that you're in the wilderness, everybody's dying around you, a whole generation died, millions of people died, that's like tens of thousands of people per day are dying because they're not going to go in and inherit the land. And he knows 40 years that he's not going to be able to do anything except eat manna from the ground and twiddle his thumbs. How many of you would feel motivated to exercise if you knew that was like the next 40 years of your life? It's kind of, so you think, where did Caleb get the motivation to keep strong and to, you know, I can see him getting his sword out and saying, hey, Joshua, I know you're going to be there with me. Pull out your sword. Come on, let's spar and practice every day. It would take every day to keep his strength up. Yeah, Pastor Eddie? He would have to be exercising every day, right? And what would give him the motivation to keep exercising, to keep sharp, to keep sparring, to keep in condition to do battle? He had to have the word, the promise in front of him, rehearsing it in his mind that God is going to give me this mountain. And every day, he did it every day, until finally, 40 years later, he gets to the edge of the promised land. Only him and Joshua are alive. Everybody else has died. It's him and Joshua and the younger generation. And Caleb says, I'm just as strong. I have just as much vigor. I'm just as ready for battle as I was 45 years ago. Now give me this mountain. I look at that and I think, wow, that's a lot of faith. And that doesn't come except through rehearsing the promise of God over and over again in the wilderness. So faith not only sees past the giants, but faith also sees past the wilderness. That's the challenge that we have too, even today in this coronavirus. Number three, faith moves us to act. And act is the fruit of preparation. Let's read the scripture together. 1, 2, 3. So the Lord gave Israel all the land that he had sworn to give their ancestors. And they took possession of it and settled there. Not one. Everyone say not one. Of all the Lord's promises, or of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone say everyone. Everyone was fulfilled. Joshua 21, 43 through 45. And this was a challenge to me when I read this, is that it's not enough to believe that God's going to do something, but it's on my part to prepare. You know, our act of preparation is an indication of our true faith. And faith doesn't come just by mustering it up. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of God. It's so important that we make it a discipline to spend time in the Word of God to hear His voice and to rehearse His goodness. You know, it applies to the practical too. My dad, you know, the reason why he says that he believes he can be strong till he's 120 years old is he goes back to Scripture and he says, Moses, it was recorded of Moses that when he was old and that he wasn't weak and that his eyes were not dim. And Caleb, that he, at 85 years old, he was strong. And that gives him hope because he reads the Bible. And so when we read the Word and we see what God has done in the past, it gives us faith, a hope of what God can do in our lives too. It prepares us for the time ahead. And then the last thing, faith comes through the Word. And this was probably the best soap this past, I don't know, couple weeks that I wrote down. But this is Joshua. And I put myself in Joshua's place, right? That Joshua has seen the goodness of God, the promise of God. He walks up to the land. He enters the land. He tastes the fruit. He's like stoked. He's ready to like take it. And everybody else says, no, we can't do it. And because of the unbelief of the other 10 people, he has to wander the wilderness for 40 years. And for 40 years, recounting the promise of God every single day, preparing himself for the next time he has a chance. And then the next time they get there, and then he leads the children of Israel to possess the land, and then to battle these giants, and to see the goodness of God, and God fight before them, and destroy the giants. And now they're all in the land of the promise. Every single tribe has their plot. Joshua is ready to die. And what does Joshua do? He recounts the whole history before he dies. He says, look at this, guys. Not one good thing that God has promised has not come to pass. And the last chapter of Joshua, you know what the last chapter of Joshua is? The last chapter of Joshua, he stands before all the Israelites. And he recounts the history from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Egypt, the delivery out of Egypt by Moses, the wandering of the wilderness, all the way to the promised land, and then the conquering of their enemies and the receiving of the inheritance. He lays all of that out before him. You know what that tells me? And then he challenges them and he says, if God has been good, choose you this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I believe that God used Joshua all throughout the book of Joshua and all throughout his life. The secret of how he could have faith and to see past the giants, to have faith, to see past the wilderness, to have faith, to apprehend the promise that God gave him, and finally at the end of his life to recount everything, is found in that first verse we read. He said, this book, everyone say this book. This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God has a promised land for every single one of us. And the same promise is conditional, that we have the faith to apprehend it. And the faith comes through the word. So my challenge in this last message of our soaping challenge is to know that God is going to be faithful to fight for us and give us the promise that he's said, but we have to do our part to prepare, and we do that through getting into the word. Amen. Let's watch this video.
Soaping is learning God's word and getting closer to him. Soaping is like a theme where you can learn about Jesus and his scriptures.
Soaping, can we have the worship team come up?
Word of God to spread it to other people who need it. What soaping is, it's a thing you do to help. It helps you get to know God, and it's a way of worshiping God.
And it helped me get through 2020.
S is the scripture.
John 10 verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me.
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
The O is the observation.
We read the Bible to know God.
God wants us to enjoy success.
The A is for apply.
I have to read the Bible to know God, and then I have to follow his voice.
Apply, I will follow the Lord.
And then the P is for prayer.
Pray, help me to obey you and follow you.
Sometimes I don't follow God, so please help me follow you.
Can we all stand? We're going to close with declaring that he is the way, the truth, and life. One of the things that was in the scripture, that when Caleb went into the land, it said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. Can everyone say another spirit? There's a spirit of the world, but there's another spirit, a different spirit. It's a spirit of truth. And that same spirit is a spirit of faith. He had another spirit, and he followed me fully. It says, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed, everyone say his seed, shall possess it. The scripture is not just for us. It's not just something that affects our lives, but just as we saw in that video, it's for our children and our children's children, the promises to them as well. And as we're faithful and stay in his word and build our faith to believe what God has promised, it's not just going to impact our lives so that we can enter into the promise, but it's going to impact the generation after us so that they can enter the promise as well. Let's close by singing this song. Promises in all throughout history, God, you have promised that there would be a day of a harvest, that there would be an end time harvest where light would shine in the darkness. And God, we want to be ready for that day. We want to have faith to believe, Lord, that darkness will not prevail. And as the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And God, we pray that you would use every single one of us in this day and hour. You've chosen us for such a time as this. There's no accident in your kingdom. And every single one of us, you have ordained to be born in this time, that you've ordained for us to be called into your family and into your kingdom. And so, Lord, we look toward the future with expectation. We look toward the future with faith. God, we're in this spiritual Super Bowl that you are the key, quarterback that's going to bring this victory, this great victory for your church. And so we thank you, Lord, in advance. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Have a great week. God bless you.